Chapter 5. In a still morning, washed so clean by the rain that they could see the mountains blue and sharp on the southern horizon, they stood together on the crest of the kopje.
"That's the tail of the Drakensberg. We've cleared it by 20 miles. There's very little chance of a Boer patrol this far out. We can ride by day now. Soon we'll be able to work in again and meet the railway beyond the battle lines."
Because of the beauty of the morning, of the land that dripped away into the great grassy bowl that was Natal, and of the woman that stood beside him, Sean was gay. Because of the promise of an end to the journey and the promise of a new one with this woman as his companion, he was content. When he spoke, she turned slowly to look up at him, her chin lifting in acknowledgement of his superior height. For the first time, Sean realized that his own mood was not reflected in her eyes.
"You're very lovely," he said,
and still she remained silent. But now he could recognize the shadows in her eyes as sorrow, or something even stronger.
"Ruth, you'll come with me?"
"No."
She shook her head slowly, regretfully. The fat black python of hair rolled across her shoulder and hung down against the honey chamois leather of her jacket.
"You must."
"I cannot."
"But last night?"
"Last night was madness. The storm."
"It was right. You know that."
"No, it was the storm."
She looked away from him towards the sky.
"And now the storm is ended."
"It was more than that, you know it. It was from the first moment of our meeting."
"It was a madness based upon deceit, something that I'll have to cover with lies, the way we had to cover it with darkness at the time."
"Oh, Ruth, my God, don't talk about it like that."
"Very well, I won't. I won't talk about it again, ever."
"We can't leave it now. You know we can't."
And in answer, she held up her left hand so that the gold upon it caught the sun.
"We'll say goodbye here on a mountain in the sunlight, though we'll ride together a little further. It's here we'll say goodbye."
"Ruth!"
he started.
But she placed the hand across his mouth, and he felt the metal of the ring on his lips, and it seemed to him that the ring was as cold as his dread of the loss she was about to inflict upon him.
"No,"
she whispered. "Kiss me once more, and then let me go."